All right, we are at lectionary lunch here. Welcome. And we are on, our reading for today is Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10. And so it's a very important passage and a beautiful passage in which the announcement is made. The whole chapter is about the announcement of Israel's release from captivity. And so there are a lot of beautiful connections we can make to this time of year and, of course, to New Testament themes and the joyful news of what God has done for us in Christ. And so the text is, as I said, verses 7 through 10, which is about in the middle of the chapter here. And if you'll notice, if you're looking at the Hebrew text, notice that the editors have kind of put spaces after verse 6. You'll see that, and then after verse 10, because it's almost as if he gives different perspective on this great news. And so there's kind of a particularity to the message of verses 7 through 10 that's loosely connected with what comes before and what comes after it, okay? So let's begin at verse 7. Ma'navu al heharim ragle mevaser, mashmia shalom mevaser tov, mashmia yeshua, Omer Letzion Malak Eloheka. How beautiful. Na'avu is a Nifal perfect from Aleph Vav He. And so again, how beautiful. Ava means to be desirable, to be lovely. Okay, so how lovely or how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the Mevaser, of the herald. Notice that this is a PL participle, and I'm translating it as a substantive, and from basar means to proclaim good news. All right. So how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald. Now notice you have a parallel term, mashmia. Yeah, that's kind of appropriate, David, isn't it? mashmia is the hifil, again another participle from shama, to hear, but here's to proclaim. So again, a synonym with mevaser, the feet of the herald, the one who makes known or causes to be heard or proclaims shalom, peace, the one who heralds, or the herald of tov, of a good thing, okay? The one who proclaims yeshua, salvation. So again, notice how the rhetoric of the passage, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of the herald, the proclaimer of peace, the herald of good, the proclaimer of salvation. So notice that the focus is on this one who brings this great message, and Isaiah uses a lot of different terms as if, you know, his mind is so full of, you catch his joy and excitement over this, that he keeps kind of repeating himself. So again, in the last line, the same thing. The one who says to Zion, Malak Eloheka, your God reigns. All right? So notice how these different terms, shalom, peace, tov, so the one who proclaims peace, the herald of good, salvation, Yahweh reigns. So notice how Isaiah is connecting all of those terms together in this verse as the content of the message that is proclaimed here. Okay? Then verse 8, Kol Zophayik Nas Ukol Yachdav Yeranenu Ki Ein Be'ein Yeru Beshuv Yahweh Tzion. Here the first kol, sometimes this is used as a exclamation. So it would be something like, listen. Okay, so it's like an interjection. Listen, Zophaik, this is a participle from the root Zapha, and it means watchman. So it's a participle, a call, plural. So listen, your watchman, and notice the your is referring to Zion. Your watchman, Nasu, lift up their voice, Kol. Okay? Yachdav, together, Yeranenu. This is a PL from Ranan. Together they shout out loud. Okay? Ki ein be'ein yiru. Notice the distributive, ein be'ein. And you would translate that each and every eye. Certainly each and every eye, yiru, will see. Again, a call from Ra'ah. Will see, Beshuv. Shuv is an infinitive construct. All right. In the turning, in the returning of Yahweh to Zion. All right. So certainly each and every eye will see Yahweh's returning to Zion. All right. Or you could also translate that bait as it with a temporal force, when Yahweh returns to Zion. All right. Verse 9 then. Pitzchu rananu yachdav charvot Yerushalayim kinicham Yahweh amo ga'al Yerushalayim. Again, pitzchu and rananu are synonyms, so kind of break out, shout out loud as one or together. O charvot Yerushalayim, O desolate places of Jerusalem, or O ruins of Jerusalem. And again, notice Jerusalem is in apposition to charvot. So you could translate, O ruined Jerusalem. Okay, O ruins, that is Jerusalem. Ki Nicham. Nicham is a PL from Nacham to comfort. All right, and we've run across that earlier in the book, of course, most predominantly Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, Nachmu, Nachmu. So here, again, the key I'm translating, you could translate as with a causal for or more, with a more assertive force. Surely Yahweh will comfort his people. All right, Yahweh, again, Ga'al, he will redeem Jerusalem. So notice the kind of predominant language, the key words that are being used throughout these passages are words that are kind of filled with meaning for Israel. Yahweh comforting his people, Yahweh redeeming Jerusalem. Okay. Now verse 10, the last verse of our text. Chasaf Yahweh et Zeroa kadsho le'enei kol hagoyim ve'ra'u kol asve eretz et yeshuat Eloheinu. Chasaf means to strip. So Yahweh will strip the arm of his holiness. And again, notice the genitive with the construct, his holy arm. So Yahweh will strip or lay bare his holy arm. Le'enei, before the eyes of all the goyim, before the eyes of all the nations. And they will see, kol asfei eretz, and all the ends of the earth will see the Yeshuat Eloheinu, will see the salvation of our God. All right. So homiletically, I mean, I think that this is a great passage to preach on once we remember that God is speaking. You know, these words are spoken to people in captivity, to Israel in captivity, promising their exile, which, you know, historically happened as they came out of Babylon and God saved them. So it was a great act of deliverance on his part, but that's, you know, kind of pales in comparison to the saving of Israel that we celebrate in the incarnation of Christ, who in his death and then resurrection is the one that was pointed to as the salvation. And in him, notice, our salvation is announced as well. And so how lovely are the feet of the herald, of, you know, the one who proclaims good news. Notice that we as God's people, and, you know, specifically we as pastors have the privilege of announcing to God's people the salvation that he has brought in his Son. And this time of year, you know, the coming of Christ in Advent as the incarnate Lord, and also, you know, mixed with that theme of he's coming at the end of time as well, so that we remember that God's people are also in a period of waiting when we have the promise of salvation. And so, you know, this section of Scripture plays into the theme of the year and serves, I think, to heighten people's expectation and excitement and joy of Christ, who has come and fulfilled the promise, and yet we're waiting for him to come and manifest what we in fact already have. So again, you know, themes from the now, not yet, play into our whole celebration understanding of this year, And so this text, you know, even in what comes before it and after it, plays into that as well. Okay? So.